And Jesus said, I will come again. Just look at what the Scripture says. In Mark's Gospel, we read this. And these are Jesus' words. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And He will send His angels to gather His elect from the four winds of the end of the earth and to the end of the heavens. Not only that, but in John's Gospel, let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Oh, we long for that day, my friends. The Lord is going to come again. Jesus Himself said very clearly in Matthew's Gospel, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaking. It's a cataclysmic end-time event. Then, in verse 30, then will appear in the heavens the sign of the Son of Man, Christ Himself. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send out His angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Over and over and over again, the Scripture is replete with instructions that Jesus is coming again. Paul said these words, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the Baptists. And verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Paul said these words in Philippians, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like His glorious body. Amen. On that day, we'll receive a brand new body. And then John wraps it all up and says, behold, He's coming. He's coming. Behold, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and is who is to come, the Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe we're living in the last days, people. I believe that we are very close to the Lord's coming. I look around and I look at all the signs that Jesus talks about in terms of His imminent return. Lawlessness has increased to the maximum. There are wars and rumors of wars. Just look at what's going on in North Korea. Look what's going on in Israel. Look what's going on around the world. We are headed for a cataclysmic failure of everything around us and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we do? How are we to live? What should be our daily activity? The wrath of God is going to burn them up and put them in hell if they don't do something about it right now. Well, I don't think that's going to work very well, to be honest with you. Picture of Jim Reed, I found that there on the internet. No, that's not what Jesus says. What He says that we are to be doing is to remember that He is coming back, and we are to be busy doing the work of His kingdom. In fact, in the passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, Jesus is going to give us two illustrations of what it means to be ready. And then after He tells us we need to be ready, He's going to issue a warning to us at what is going to happen at His return. And it applies to everyone, not just to believers, but to in verse 35. chapter 12, verses 35 down to verse 48. Look at it. Here's what he says. When Jesus said he is going to come back, he means it. And here's what he wants us to do. He says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from a wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Now, Jesus is giving a parable, if you will, a little story. It's going to happen in the month of whatever the month is, September, whatever. And we are planning this day. We'll give you more information when it comes. They would just give you a month. And then when it got closer to that date or the day of, they would remind everybody in the community that the wedding is happening today and people would come from all around to go to the wedding. Now, unlike our weddings today, those weddings lasted a long time. In fact, they lasted till all the food was gone. And in some cases, that was several days. And in some cases, it was even up to a week long. Can you imagine having to take care of people for a whole week at a wedding party? Well, as long as there's good food and everything, sure, that sounds fun to me. But they would go, and the master of the house home to his servants. And he would say, I'm going to be returning. It could be a short time, it could be a long time, but I want you to take care of everything. They never knew when the master was going to come home. And so, Jesus says, like a master who has gone away for a while, you are to be ready when I come. You are to keep busy and work while I come. Notice the illustration, verse 35. Stay dressed for action. Literally, have your loins girded up. You know, they would wear those long robes, and they would take the corners of those robes, and they would pull them up, and then they would pull them through their belt. And so their robe then became almost like a pair of shorts that now enabled them to be mobile, enabled them to do things, enabled them to function better. And then not only that, he says, not only have your loins girded ready for action, he says, have the lamps burning. In other words, there's not going to be a nighttime where you just turn off the lights, everybody goes to bed, and you don't have to worry about a thing. Because the master could come home in the middle of the night. So I want you to get ready so that when the master comes home, you are active in service and are able to meet his needs. Now, you may not be able to think in those terms because it's a little foreign to our culture. But picture this. Have you ever been on a long trip? You ever been so long that you are eager to get home? And you've driven back from the airport and you parked your car out in front of the house? And now you're home and you just love to get out of the car, go upstairs and go to bed. That's what my wife says that I do. But literally what has to happen before all of that is when you park the car, you got to get out of the car. You got to unload all that luggage. You got to take it all upstairs. You got to open it up. You got to separate the dirty laundry from the clean laundry. You got to put your suitcase away. You got to take a shower. You got to peel back the covers. You got to get ready for bed. There's a whole thing that takes place, and you would just love to collapse in bed. Well, in Jesus' day, they had servants. Servants who provided excellent turn-down service. And they would come. I didn't know what turndown service was until I took my wife on a little vacation earlier in the year. And somebody knocked at our hotel room. And I opened the door and she said, excuse me, turn down. And I began to profusely apologize to her saying, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize my TV was so loud. I'll go turn it down. And she goes, no, turn down. And I said, I'm going to go turn it down. And then she came into the room and she said, no, turn down your covers. And she turned down the covers and she put a little mint on the pillow and she put some slippers there and she got the robe out. And I was just looking at her going, are you going to tuck me in and sing me a story? This is awesome. But wouldn't it be great to have, that's what God invented children for, to do that for you every time you go to bed. And if those kids aren't doing that, then you need to have a talk with them, just in case you're wondering. But Jesus is saying, listen, like those servants who are ready to serve at any moment, they're busy. And they're busy and they're alert because the master is coming. Only when he comes, it's going to be a little different for us. He says this, blessed are those servants for whom the master finds awake when he comes. Now watch this. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes, if we're alive and remain, we're going to just be taken up into the air. If we've already gone and have been buried, We are going to rise out of the grave in a twinkling of an eye. As we all resurrect together, our bodies will be instantly changed, and we will be in His presence where He says He's going to don on the robe of service. He's going to come, and He is going to care for us. A beautiful picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a great day it's going to be. And I know we're going to say, oh Lord, no, don't serve us. We're going to serve You. And we're reminded of John chapter 13, where our Lord turned to Peter and said, if I can't serve you, I have no part of you. And the Lord is going to serve us, and He is going to bless us. And it could happen at any time, any moment. Look what He says in verse 38. If He comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. They divided the evening up into three watches. 9 to noon was the first watch, or 9 to midnight. Midnight to 3 was the second watch, and then from 3 to 6 was the third watch. And Jesus is saying, even if I come in the middle of the night, be ready. Be ready doing what? Be ready serving Him. Be ready actively involved in pursuing His goals in the kingdom. Be ready to minister to people. Be ready. It's not our time to retire. Our time to retire is when we go to be with Jesus. Right now, we are to be active servants for the kingdom of God, finding every avenue in which we possibly can to serve Him. Because He will come, and He will reward us, and He will also judge us. Look at what He says in Luke chapter 19. He sent His servants to whom He had given money, in order to find them out what they gained with it. This is the parable of the 10 minas. It's also very similar to that as the parable of the talents. The first one came, he was a servant. He said, sir, your mina has earned you 10 more. Well done, good servant. The man had invested a mina and God had given 10 more in return. Well done, good servant, his master replied. Because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. God is rewarding us for all of the works that we have done. And Jesus is reminding us, are you serving Him? Are you actively engaged in the work of His kingdom? Are you praying? Are you ministering? Hundreds of opportunities in the church. Hundreds of opportunities in our community. I think of our dear brother Dale Zellner, who just got out of Vineyard and now he's living with Mark Maxwell. The Maxwell family has taken Dale Zellner in and said, you come, you live here, we'll take care of you. They're doing good works under the glory of God. Good things that we can be doing every day. Really excited about our small group ministry. I was talking to Jay. Jay's going to be starting 3 new small groups in this fall, Lord willing. And our small groups are not just going to be about ministering to each other, which is significant and important. And it's not going to be just about studying the Bible, which that is very important and significant. But every component in a small group is going to have a ministry aspect where we reach out into our community and we build bridges to share the gospel with people. What can we do with those outside the church that we might be able to share the goodness of Christ with them? You say, Pastor Mike, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any abilities. I can't do anything. You want me to get out there and do something for God's kingdom? Absolutely. And it's not me who's saying it, it's Jesus who's saying it. See, I can't do a single thing. I don't have any abilities. Well, it's not true. He's given every one of us a single gift. I want to introduce you to a guy by the name Nick Vujicic. I don't know if you've ever heard of Nick. He's an interesting guy, yeah. Profound man of God. What is interesting about Nick is this. He was born with no arms and no legs. This man struggled, as you might imagine, as a young teenager, wondering, God, why did you make me? Why did you even create me? Why didn't you just get rid of me? I can't do anything. Look at me. People would laugh at him. People would make fun of him. Can you imagine what his days were like as a teenager? He grew up depressed. He grew up angry. He grew up frustrated. And then at one day, in the middle of his teens, somebody introduced him to the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, and this man gave his life for the Lord. And he said, Lord, I don't have limbs. I have no arms and no legs. In fact, doctors did research to try to determine why, and they cannot figure it out. There is nothing genetically within him that explains this condition. And if you talk to this man, he will tell you that his favorite passage of Scripture is the story in John's Gospel about a man who was born blind. And the Pharisees came and they asked Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man? Was it his parents? Why was he born blind? And Jesus turned to the crowd and he said, this man was born blind for one reason and one reason only, and that was to give glory to God. And when Nick read that passage of Scripture, he said, I got no arms, I got no limbs, but Lord, I am going to give you glory. And he travels the world speaking to people about what God did for him. Thousands of people pack into a stadium as they set him up on a little table. And he shares what Christ has done for them. I watched him speak to a group of young teenage gals who felt ugly about themselves, who felt that they could never fit into society, who felt like they didn't have anything to offer the world at all. And he stood up and he said, you were made in the image of God and God made you beautiful. He doesn't make any mistakes. This man has seen literally hundreds and thousands of people come to know Christ. He's done work with Johnny Erickson Tata, an incredible ministry. You can see him there just on the table, just sitting there. They literally have to pick him up and put him up there. He said, God, what can I possibly do? And look what God gave to him. One day he began praying, I'll never get married. I'll never be able to do anything like that. And a woman fell in love with him. And they got gloriously married. And not only did God bless them in their marriage, but God blessed them with children. They have two beautiful children. Children were born absolutely fully functional and normal. And this man, every day when he gets out of bed, somebody brushes his teeth, somebody helps him go to the bathroom, somebody dresses him, somebody literally takes care of him and feeds him. This man, as long as he has breath to live, says, I will travel around the world and tell others about Jesus. Look what he did for me. Think about it, church. When you say, I don't have anything to do, I don't have any gifts, I don't have any abilities, I would say, get online, listen to this man of God's testimony, read the Word of God, and I think you'll discover that God has given you all kinds of gifts to do all kinds of things for all kinds of people. So church, while we're waiting for the Lord's return, shall we not be busy? Shall we not be occupied by servants? Whether he comes in the first or the second or the third watch, Lord, we are there to serve. Let's serve. Second of all, Jesus gives another illustration, not only like a master who has gone away, but he wants you to understand something, that when he comes back, it's going to be at a time when you do not expect it. That's why it's so important to be busy now. Get busy serving the Lord now, because you think you know when He's coming. The reality is you don't know when He's coming. Listen to what He says. But know this, the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming. He would have not left his house to be broken into. Here he pictures a Middle Eastern home. The man has left the home. And while he has left the home, a robber comes in and steals him. And Jesus is simply saying, if the master had known that a thief was going to come at an hour, he would have stayed to protect his house. Verse 40, you must also be ready for the Son of Man, coming at an hour you do not expect. We need to live our lives every day with the reality that Christ is coming back. The analogy is as a thief in the night. Listen to what Paul says. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Wasn't that long ago, I've got my truck broken into. Somebody, I think actually what happened is it was left unlocked. So they didn't have to break into it. But they got into my vehicle and they stole everything they could think of. They even stole the little thing you plug in to charge your phone. Pfft, can you believe that? They took that, they took all, and they found a checkbook. And they took my checkbook. And they wrote a check for $795. And my bank cashed it. And I called them the next day and I said, I'm light in my checking account. What happened? Well, you wrote a check for $795, Mr. Garman. I did not. Thieves come when you least expect it, on a time when you're not aware. People will be saying, peace and safety. And Jesus says, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that day should surprise you. It will not if you're ready. Second Peter says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. John said these words in the book of Revelation. Remember therefore what you have received and heard. Obey it. Repent. If you do not wake up, it will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. John says again, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and shamefully be exposed. Folks, we live in a day and an age when Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to come soon. We live in a day of all kinds of troubles and warning signs. We live in a day that clearly is telling us something is wrong in society. The Bible tells us there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. The Bible tells us there's going to be nation rising up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, famines, abnormal signs in the heavens, unusual weather, all kinds of stuff that is going to be taking place. And yet each one of these is a picture of the Lord's imminent return. Perhaps the most profound one that sticks in my mind is Jesus says, in the last day there will be times of absolute lawlessness. I can't think of a time in American history where we have lived in more lawlessness today than ever before. It doesn't matter what it is. People protest it, and they not only protest it, they protest it with violence. And they think because there's 2,000 or 3,000 of them there, they have the right to destroy whatever they want to destroy. Let me tell you something. What we see in the country today is people destroying things, not because they're morally right, but because there's absolute lawlessness and they believe they can get away with it. And they'll destroy it. Statues, monuments, it doesn't matter what it is. They go out at war and they begin to destroy everything because their conscience has been seared. They haven't had good parental upbringing. And then the last thing to go is the breakdown of society when the lawless one is there, and all of a sudden they give themselves over to whatever they want to do. I went to go visit my mom up in Washington. And as you know, when I went to go up there, I also visited a pastor friend of mine. And as I was driving in the car, I was listening to the news station. And it was a debate that was going on. And the debate was simply this, that drugs are a problem in the state of Washington. Heroin is a huge problem. And not only heroin, but methamphetamine is a big problem. And so they were proposing on the radio station that the best way to deal with this problem is to establish safe places so that they can go and take their drugs, whether it's shoot it up or snort it or inject it or however they want to do it. And if we provide these safe places for people to do their drugs, it's going to help the problem. What? What are you thinking? In fact, these safe places, they literally have them. The police cannot go into those places and do anything. In fact, it's so bad. I went to my mom's Walmart store. They have a cornfield nearby where all these tweakers, they call them, live. They take a backpack that's empty. They walk into the Walmart. They stuff the backpack and they walk out of the Walmart. Walmart can't catch them all, and the police will do nothing about it. They stand on the corners begging for money. Then, when they get some money together, they buy a motorhome and they park the motorhome in the parking lot of Walmart. And the women who buy the motorhomes go into Walmart, solicit men and take them out to the motorhome in the parking lot and commit prostitution with them to get money to buy more drugs. And the police are told they can't do anything about it. I'm literally watching society. I told my mother, you're not going to that Walmart anymore. Well, the nearest one's 10 miles down the road. Go to that Walmart. This place is a mess. There are some real problems here. We have nothing but lawlessness taking place, and nobody will do anything about it. Listen, why don't you take, instead of giving them safe places to do their drugs, why don't you take them to a place where they can get some help? Get them to a clinic. Get them to some place where it'll teach them how to break this habit. Or better yet, why don't you get the church involved and see them come to know Christ and their souls saved and their lives radically changed for the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are watching literally the breakdown of society around us. And Jesus says, be ready, I'm coming back. Because one of the things that's going to take place is lawlessness. And when lawlessness is on the rise and the increase, when nobody thinks it, I will return. Wow. I don't know about you, but I am a supporter of our law enforcement. I know the attitude today is to hate law enforcement. I know the attitude is to treat them ill. But the Bible says very clearly that God ordained law, and God ordained law to punish evildoers. Are there bad policemen? Sure, there's a few bad policemen. Are there bad pastors? Sure, there's a bad pastor. Not me. Can I get an amen? But you get the idea. Of course, I love telling this parable for all of us? Are you talking to me? You must be talking to them. Well, the them over there, Peter, aren't saved. They don't know the Lord. And yes, they need to be ready, and yes, they need to be warned. But I'm talking to you boys right here. This is Jesus preaching to the choir. This is Him saying, get ready and get busy. Because listen, church, when He comes back, it is going to be fantastic. Two things the Bible tells us. I wish I had time to develop them. One is going to be He's going to reward us greatly for our service to Him. It is going to be an incredible day of reward. I'm looking so forward to seeing my Lord. I hope that I don't care about the rewards that much, but I just give them back to Him because I really want to see Him more than anything in the world. But He says, I am going to bless you and take care of you, and I am going to reward you greatly. And for those who have served faithful, you will serve over many cities. And then He says, for those of you who have been given much and have done very little, for those of you who have been given much, much will be required. And if you're not serving Him, if you're not involved in the ministry of caring and loving, hundreds of things we could be doing, Jesus is saying to you, get busy. Serve. Did you guys see the eclipse? I was flying back from Washington, flying on the plane, and the pilot came on. He said, folks, we're going to be flying. And he said, I really would love you to see this eclipse. And we're going to be coming into San Luis Obispo at this time. And I'm going to do everything I can to stay in the traffic pattern so you can see the eclipse from the air, because there's a lot of clouds there in San Luis Obispo. So traffic control and so boom, he dived down in the clouds, and we stood in the clouds, and I kept thinking, well, we're going to see some land sooner or later. And we're in the clouds, and then all of a sudden the power of the plane goes into full thrust, and he pulls back the stick, and we go back up above the clouds. He says, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with the GPS. Those aren't words that you really want to hear when you're flying. I thought maybe they were going to do an extended snack service, but no, it's something's wrong with the GPS. It says, in fact, he says, don't worry, we have a backup system. And he said, what we're going to do, I'm going to reorientate so that we can do a different approach into San Luis, because it's so overcast and so cloudy. And oh, by the way, while we were in the clouds, the eclipse happened. And you missed it. Then he brought the plane down, and we landed safely. They opened the door and everybody got out of the plane, and I grabbed my bag and I began to walk out. And I stopped and I turned and I looked up at the clouds. I didn't get to see the eclipse. But then something happened. The sun started to part the clouds. And there was this brilliant sun shining through the clouds. And you know what came to my mind? The passage of Scripture that said Jesus is going to be coming again, and He's going to part the clouds in brilliance and glory, and He's going to come again. And I thought to myself, all these people have been looking at an eclipse. We should be looking for the real thing, Jesus Christ returning. When we see those clouds and we see that sun beaming through their people, we should remember this. Jesus is coming back. Let us be faithful in serving Him. In fact, if you're here today and I'm talking to you and Jesus is saying, get busy, the very first thing you need to do is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, is come to know Him today. Because you can do all the work you want for Jesus, but if you don't know who He is and an intimate relationship with Him, you're in more trouble than you possibly know. Because He's coming as a judge. And so today I would extend this invitation to you while there is yet time, while He has not returned yet, while there is still daylight, place your faith and trust in Jesus. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father in heaven, we